Thank you for subscribing to HawkeyeDrive.com, your stop for Iowa football men's basketball content. I'm Brendan Salas. Pleased to be joined, as always, every Wednesday night with Gary Dolphin. You just got done hosting Hawk Talk with Kirk Ferentz down here at Colors with Kelly's in Iowa City. Gary, how's it going this evening?
It's going good, Brendan, considering we don't like to lose. A tough loss last Saturday, but you know, I've said all year long that I expect this team to win and to lead because of 26 seniors, and I expect them to bounce back this week against Michigan State, a quality Michigan State team, because of 26 seniors.
The one question I do want to ask you with regards to last weekend's game, and it was something I know that you brought up with Coach when you were hosting the show, is the whole thing with the last 2 minutes there, because I know at his press conference this week he talked about how he looked back on it and kind of regret how that ended. How would you describe just like how he's kind of handled everything in the aftermath of it, if you will?
He's the head coach. He's going to take the blame whether he deserves it or not. There's a lot of moving parts both on the sideline and out on the field, and Rick Stanzi took the blame after the game on our post-game show last week, and probably deservedly so, at least for some of it. Part of the fault lies with the system. You know, they like to run out of the shotgun when they're trying to move the ball, and I'm sure they had two plays called. There's just a lot of moving parts. I think there's enough blame to go around, but in the end, Coach Ferentz is going to take the majority of it because he's very good at protecting his guys, whether it be Ken O'Keefe, whether it be Eric Campbell, whether it be anybody in the offensive or defensive side of the football, certainly as players. And I think if there's one thing I've learned over 12 years, whether it's Kirk's fault or not, he's going to cover for his guys and take the blame publicly. Internally, I'm sure they've had a lot of discussions this week about not only the last 12 seconds of the game, but special teams, defense giving up a long drive at the start of the game and the start of the second half, penalties, a guy jumping on 3rd and inches at the Wisconsin 4, a false start. I mean, there's enough blame to go around, Brendan. But Kirk's a quality guy. He's a stand-up guy. And he's going to cover for his guys, and that's the way he is, like him or hate him.
One thing that was revealed tonight during the show is they were talking about the linebacking situation. He said that Jeff Tarpinian might be able to go for Iowa's defense, which would be huge if he is able to get out there. And then he was also saying Jeremiah Hunter would be, I guess, questionable would be the proper term here with the injury he sustained against Wisconsin last week. Just how, what would it mean to this defense, especially given the balance that Michigan State's shown offensively this year? What would it mean for Iowa to have both of those guys, maybe not necessarily starting on Saturday, but at least available if need be?
It'd be huge. As you know, the middle linebacker calls all the defenses, and how great was it to have Pat Anger from start to finish last year, a guy who played hurt a lot, but he's Norm Parker's eyes on the field. He and A.J. Eads in tandem were phenomenal last year at figuring out what the opposing offenses were going to do. We've got two brand-new starters this year. And well, Tarpinian has hardly been there. I think had Tarp been there week in, week out, we wouldn't have a lot of these issues that we're having on third down and, in certain cases, fourth down when teams go for it. Tarp's the leader, but he just hasn't been able to stay on the field. That said, Jeremiah Hunter, probably our best run-stuffing linebacker on the football team, is nicked and wounded and beat up and missed some plays last Saturday. And, you know, he's going to be questionable right up until game time on Saturday. Tarp, they hope to have him back, if for no other reason, Brendan, for special teams. But if they can't, if either one of them can't play Saturday, then it's going to be Tyler Nielsen, James Morris, and Troy Johnson. Christian Kirksey, his name was mentioned, and I, true freshman. I think the term I heard around the office today was could be linebacker by committee on Saturday, simply because they don't know. And that hurts Iowa's defense. It's important to have those linebackers out there, because as good as that front four is, it's still the middle linebacker who calls the signals. And it would be big not to have Tarp and Hunter on the field Saturday.
Now, this evening, Coach Ferentz had to leave early to go watch his son play at City High. And Coach Campbell actually came on with you for the last 30 minutes. Just what was it like being able to talk to him, especially considering, you know, the performances that the team's gotten from guys like DJ K and from Marvin McNutt this year?
Coach Campbell, his visit was very timely, and the DJ K will become the all-time leading pass catcher at Iowa this weekend against Michigan State. He needs one catch to become the all-time leading receiver in terms of numbers.
Yep.
He already has the yardage mark. I think he's 6 touchdown catches shy of owning that record as well. Just a phenomenal talent, but But the bigger picture is, and this is no secret, I think this is Iowa's best receiving corps since Kirk has been here. It's the first time we've had a veteran receiving corps grow up with a veteran quarterback in Rick Stanzi. But I also think it's more than coincidence that Eric Campbell, since his arrival in 2008, Iowa's passing game has been upgraded significantly, and I think is due in large part to Eric Campbell and what he brought from Michigan, the style, the play, the system. You got to be a good downfield blocker. Michigan's receivers are always good downfield blockers, or at least they have been in the past. And I see a lot of Michigan and Iowa's receivers. And so Soup, you know, he was a defensive back. It's not all bad being a receiving coach, having played defensive back in college, because you think like a receiver does, and you anticipate their move. And he has really done a great job since coming to Iowa City. And yeah, Iowa's always going to be a 60-40 run pass team, but if they have to on certain Saturdays throw the football more than they're comfortable with, they're a lot more comfortable because Eric Campbell's a coach.
Now, well, Iowa playing Michigan State, I know a lot of people are going to be thinking back to last year's game up in East Lansing where Ricky Stanzi hit Marvin McNeil on the final play for a touchdown. Just when, what do you remember most besides that play, I guess, when you do get the opportunity to reflect back? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, that play is going to probably has to go down as one of your more memorable calls as an Iowa play-by-play man. But is there anything else that really kind of stood out to you when you think back on that game?
Absolutely. wasn't so much the last play of that drive on fourth down and goal, whatever it was, for the winning touchdown as time expired. It was the drive. I think Iowa had one timeout left when that drive started and had to go, I think it was 72 yards. I think they started on the 28-yard line. And Rick Stanzi converted big third down, second and long. There might have been a fourth down play in there somewhere. The way, very similar to the 1985 drive when Chuck Long took the Hawks downfield to have Rob Houtland kick that field goal. Very similar. And Stanzi's cool and calm under pressure. But everybody contributed, most notably Marvin McNutt at the end. But I can remember Colin Sandeman's helmet-to-helmet hit that left him quivering in the field. We had a delay, a stoppage of play and a delay there. And so that took some momentum away. But Stanzi to keep that offense together, and prior to that, for the defense to get a stop and force a Michigan State punt. That's a good Michigan State defense. And so to have an end like it did was icing on the cake. Now, that said, I talked to Greg Jones, the reigning Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, outstanding middle linebacker at Michigan State. He came back for much the same reason Adrian Claiborne did this year. They both could have gone to the NFL last year and been first-round picks, but Greg Jones came back, I think in part due to the Iowa game. There's no question, he told me this, Michigan State has circled this date on their calendar because of what happened in East Lansing last year. But they have been close going back 3-4 years. These games have come to double overtime.
Yep.
Sean Green gets stopped on fourth and inches at their 20 a year ago. The last play of the game last year. Now, did Greg Jones and Michigan State think they'd be 8-0 coming in this weekend? Probably not. They were hoping they'd be. But that just adds a little more flavor to it. But it should be a great, hard-hitting, physical football game.
You mentioned Michigan State being 8-0 and coming into this game as a top-5 BCS team. Do you notice any similarities with this Michigan State team to that Iowa team from a year ago that started 9-0?
You know, I do. I do. And not so much in particulars, but in general, not unlike last week. I think it'll be a game similar to last week. Mm-hmm. You can never predict turnovers, but or special teams snafus. But you got the three programs left in the Big Ten that run the two-back, the traditional multiple offense, the two-back, two tight ends, play a physical style of defense, good kicking games. Last week it was Iowa-Wisconsin. This week it's Iowa-Michigan State. I think that's a byproduct of why these games have been so close, is that Michigan State is Wisconsin in a different colored uniform. They've got a three-headed monster in Baker Bell and Caper at tailback. They've got a veteran, really good, solid quarterback in Kirk Cousins, like Scott Tolzien. They've got a big veteran offensive line, maybe not to the degree of Wisconsin's, and they've got a veteran, hard-hitting defense, just like Iowa. Now, Iowa had a three-headed monster at the beginning of the year with Wager and Hampton, and for a variety of reasons, as you know, they're down to A-Rob and two true freshmen, one redshirt freshman. That doesn't mean Coker and Brad Rogers couldn't step in and get the job done if need be. But A-Rob, you can't say enough about the job he's done. So what you have on Saturday are two very similar teams. I said last week if Iowa won the turnover battle, given everything else being equal, they'd win the game. Well, they won the turnover battle. Everything else was pretty equal. I just didn't count on special teams having the rough day that they had. Hopefully that doesn't happen this week.
And my final question for you here, when you look at Saturday's game, what do you feel Iowa needs to be able to do in order to get out of Kinnick Stadium with a bounce-back victory and give Michigan State its first loss of the season?
I don't think it's any different than last week, Brendan. Michigan State, and if you go back and look at the last few games, they've loaded the box to take the running game away. I don't see that any different Saturday. Iowa's going to try and neutralize Michigan State's run game of Bell and Baker and Caper, and I thought they did a good job on Wisconsin last week. Wisconsin had a long drive to start the game and a long drive to start the second half. And with the help of our special teams, they had a couple 50-yard drives for touchdowns, too. A team like Michigan State, you got to make them drive the field because Kirk Cousins lives off the short pass. They want to run the football. And the more plays, the more snaps you make them take, the more apt they are to turning the ball over. And that's what Iowa's defense has to do. But in the end, it's going to be the quarterbacks that make the big plays in the passing game to decide it.
You can listen to Gary call the game along with Ed Podolak on the Hawkeye Radio Network Saturday afternoon. Kickoff is scheduled for 2:30 Central from Kinnick Stadium. Gary, thank you very much for the time, and we'll be with you again next week.
Okay, Brendan, my pleasure.